So after a month or so, PJ and I get our results, which we send to a geneticist for more analysis and context through a company called Promethease. We'll bring him in later. So we've got it. Well, go ahead and open your Coke.
Well,
speaking of which, did you find out whether or not you're a fast caffeine metabolizer?
That was maybe the only good piece of news in my entire report, is that I am a fast caffeine metabolizer, and it actually is better for my heart instead of worse for my heart.
Huh.
Yeah.
Excellent. So what was the bad news?
Just everything else.
Really?
Yeah, like I have a high risk of gout. Gout wasn't in my original report, but I got an email a week after I got my results being like, hey, you've got an update. And I clicked through and it was like, 35% chance that you'll develop gout when you get older.
Now, that's a fantastic finding because you can moderate your diet. You can respond to that.
But I don't want any – like, I thought either it would say that I was really healthy or it would say – I think maybe young people have a tendency to imagine dying very dramatically. So I thought it was going to be like, you've got PJ Vogt disease and you've got 6 months to live. I didn't think it was going to say – you need to take care of yourself. Otherwise, as you get older, you are likely to get the diseases that all people get as they age.
Bummer, man. It just reminds you of your mortality. When you saw that your results came in, were you scared?
I was immensely scared. I mean, it gave me 20 things to Google that I'd never heard of that all sounded ominous. I mean, I didn't know what a venous thromboembolism was.
That's the thing that I have.
Me too.
Of. Oh, hey, I bet you it's an Ashkenazi thing.
Yeah, I found out I'm 30% Ashkenazi, which
I didn't
know.
Oh, you're only 37%? I am 97% Ashkenazi. When it looks for your history across the globe, it seemed like I spontaneously sprang up in the middle of the Ukraine somewhere. It's a little disappointing. Even more disappointing was being only 2.7%. percent Neanderthal.
I'm sorry about that. I know that was important to you.
What were you?
I think I was a little bit more.
You're not worthy.
I was like 3.5%,
I
think.
See, you got a little above average. You know, your man crush, James Fallows, is 5%.
Seriously?
And that is way above average.
He's 5% Neanderthal and he can fly a plane. That's crazy.
So the things that I kind of expected, like tendency to obesity, diabetes 2, this venous thromboembolism thing was kind of a new idea.
One of the main reasons I initially wanted to do this was that I've been in a prolonged fight with my family. They all have gluten allergies and they think that I do and that I'm in denial. And so I wanted conclusive proof that I don't. And my test said that I do.
Ultimately, were you glad you did this?
Oh, God, yeah. For me, it was really interesting to see where I'm from. My family has a bit of a weird genealogy, and we're pretty far flung, and there's been a lot of conjecture about it. They give you a map, and they say not only you had family in Spain, and you had family that were Jewish, and you had family in Germany, but also they say, like, there's a person in Iowa who is 5% related to you. And I brought up a person who the social networking component said was my relative, and my mom said, oh, yeah, it was her mother's estranged sister. So it was a branch of my mom's family that she'd completely lost touch with but heard about. So she's now doing the test and she wants to message this woman.
Wow. I found a lot of people who were second to third cousins.
You found a lot of them?
Yeah.
A lot of people actually asked me to share my genetic information with them, and it's one of the first times where I've actually felt uncomfortable about oversharing on a social network.
Mm-hmm.
That felt like a silly thing
to
do. Yeah,
that is unusual for you.
Yeah.
So we're going to bring in now Greg Lennon, who is a geneticist who has looked at our material through the Promethease site. Greg, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brooke.
What do you think were the most unusual findings for PJ and for me?
Well, why don't you tell me first what you noticed?
Well, I noticed an increased risk for breast cancer, personally. It seems that the average risk is 13.5, but my risk is 18.3%, and I don't know what I should do with that information. Can you explain to me how they came to that?
Sure. In the population, which in this case probably means mostly Caucasian females, your risk is estimated to be that number. Now, the real question, though, is that important? And is it something you would either worry about or discuss with your physician? And the answer in that case is probably, well, there's no harm in discussing it with your physician.
I knew you were going to say that.
Right?
You took this test yourself. You said if you were going to be making sausage, you want to know what it tastes like. You know, was there a finding that you went, holy cow, or did you say, this is interesting, perhaps I should consult my physician about some moderate changes in lifestyle?
Yeah, we did do this first years ago, and when I first took part of my report to my doctor, they had absolutely no idea what I was talking about. This is all too new for them. Now, it's getting better, and in areas like breast cancer, it actually is better. In my case, breast cancer actually was something of very personal importance, not to me, but to someone who was very close to me, and was brought up with the physician and did change the course of therapy.
Did she have the BRCA markers?
No. The truth is, most women with breast cancer do not have BRCA1 markers, and certainly not the common ones.
I feel like I've been given a lot of information, and I'm not sure how to responsibly use it. I don't know what level of attention to pay now when I read an article that says, scientists may have found a DNA marker for whatever, if I should immediately rush back, try to see if I've got it, or if I should hold off because it's just going to scare and confuse me and I'm basically going to misunderstand what I've been given.
Okay, that's a really easy one to answer.
Okay.
You hear something in the news, totally ignore it.
That was my policy already. That's great.
According to the 23andMe results, I have a slightly lower risk for Alzheimer's, but a higher risk for other cognitive issues?
In general, anytime DNA speaks about cognitive issues and things having to do with the brain, you've really got to realize we're really in early days.
Mm-hmm.
There are many, many, many factors that are playing a role, not only just in your DNA, but in your environment, in your education, and for all we know, what you had for breakfast. Small, slight risks are really nothing that you can act on.
According to my results, I have a slightly higher likelihood of having celiac disease, or at least a gluten allergy. It was a very slim probability, but then I got sort of a health report saying, this is something you should talk to a doctor about. Where should I pitch my level of anxiety?
Are you willing to hear a little bit of statistics?
Yes.
That DNA change that you have is one found in almost everybody with celiac disease, with gluten intolerance, serious gluten intolerance. On the other hand, it just happens that there are a whole lot of people wandering around who don't have any obvious sign of gluten intolerance who also carry that change. Basically, when you get told you have this marker, well, yeah, you do share it with the folks who have celiac disease, but in the absence of any other information, the odds are about 15 to 1 in favor of you not getting celiac disease.
Huh. So not on 23andMe, but in your results, it said that I had something called a warrior gene, and I was curious about that.
Well,
oh.
Doesn't mean you ought to join the special forces. It does mean that people with the warrior gene have a slightly higher statistical likelihood of, in stressful situations, fighting rather than fleeing. Or as tested by the equivalent psychological test done on college students who need to make a little money in a lab after school sometime.
Wait, so how do they stress out the college kids?
You can't think of ways to stress out college kids.
Was there anything about either of our results that struck you as somewhat unusual?
Well, probably the most important thing that leapt out in your report was that using Plavix, one of the most commonly prescribed drugs right now to treat or prevent stroke and heart attacks, isn't going to do you much good. If you're ever there and your cardiologist or other physician is saying, hey, here's the drug for you, well, you could just say, it doesn't look like it. Why don't we try a different drug that's more likely to be effective? In PJ's report, he's predicted to be lactose intolerant. He may not have had the slightest idea that now or later in his life, that ice cream may just give him an upset stomach. Maybe he already knows it now.
It's funny, actually, I do know it because I'm terribly lactose intolerant. But for most of my childhood, I didn't know, and I got sick all the time. I mean, if this had been around, I could have spent a lot less time vomiting milk, which would have been great.
Yeah, and, you know, of course, in this field, more and more people are moving towards, oh, hey, why don't we do these sort of analyses right at birth? A lot of this science will merge into your, hopefully, electronic medical record.
It also said I was more likely than most people to become addicted to heroin.
Yeah. Again, those are some of these reports that you may just want to not believe that the first or second time it's reported, but, you know, wait and let the studies build up.
The study that suggests that I'm higher than average in empathy or something, that's a bunch of hooey, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
DNA is not destiny. You can have identical twins who, as far as we know, share almost totally identical DNA, and they can have different medical histories.
What about privacy issues? Any concern there?
Wouldn't say there are a lot of issues right now, honestly, in part because we just know so little. Now, maybe when we know a lot more, having your DNA out there in the world will be problematic. But the truth is, we won't be able to control that anyway. Your DNA is out there, whether it's on the surfaces of things you touch or elsewhere, and sooner or later, somebody could get access to it. Now, fortunately, we also have things like the so-called GINA, Genetic Non-Disclosure Act, that does protect us a bit legally, at least here in the U.S., from having DNA information used against you.
I just remembered there's one question I'm going to be really mad at myself if I don't ask. In the category of like things that are reliable versus things that are hooey, it said that I will not have male pattern baldness. Can you tell me that that's not hooey?
Not hooey.
Really?
You've got a really reduced risk of male pattern baldness.
Oh, that's great. That's
great. You can count on that one.
Okay, cool.
See, simple things make simple people happy. Bye, Greg.
Good talking to you, PJ and Brooke.
Oh, thank you.
Greg Lennon is a geneticist with Snipedia, which is kind of like Wikipedia for DNA information.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Alex Goldman, PJ Vogt, Sarah Abdurrahman, Chris Neary, and Laura Mayer. We had more help from Zach Spencer and Megan Tian. And our show was edited by Brooke. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineers this week were Andrew Dunn and Justin Gerrish.
And funding for Mary's piece came from Susan and Peter Solomon. Katya Rogers is our senior producer. Jim Schachter is WNYC's vice president for news. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. On the Media is produced by WNYC and distributed by NPR. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.